Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I think we finally sufficiently recovered from the long holiday weekend. Gave ourselves an extra day to do that and everything.
Yeah, it was fun though. What does Drew call it? The Irish Spring Fling? Something like that.
I like it. I'm fully on board with that.
Not a bad time.
No. I don't think anyone can possibly complain about it. We definitely did our Irish ancestors proud.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Finally got my cabbage. Had corned beef a couple times, but
I say, do you remember that stop?
Yep. I finally got the cabbage. I've got a little bit of Irish music out of that DJ when he wasn't playing booty shaking music with F this, F that in front of children. But you know, hey, whatever.
Oh, you know, if you're bringing your kid out to that bar, especially on St. Pat's, I don't really feel bad for you.
I don't know.
That your kids might be exposed to some things that they'd rather not be exposed to.
I don't know. It was 2 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon on St. Patrick's Day. This guy's trying to turn it into a booty shaking bar. I mean, come on, read the room.
Well, all of us were already starting to get hung over, if anything. There wasn't it was a weird Saint. I mean, when St. Pat's falls on a Sunday, it's like
it is weird. It's off. And then it's gonna be even more weird next year
because it's gonna be a Monday.
Yeah. I mean, not to say I'm not gonna celebrate it.
I mean, I'm still gonna party a good alcoholic I am, but
you know, it's gonna be like, wow, whoo, what, tomorrow's Tuesday? All right, I guess we're doing this.
So we're gonna feel really just responsible and just proud of myself as an adult.
So the listeners are like, so 363 days from now, we can assume that you guys are gonna be gone 2 days, and yeah, probably.
Yeah, plan on us not being here Monday and Tuesday next year. Just mark that down your calendars now. We don't radio on St. Patrick's Day. I don't radio on St. Patrick's Day.
I mean, we could show up at like 3 and do a live remote, but I mean, I don't think anybody would really. There wouldn't be. It'd be entertaining for a little while, but after a while, it'd be like, I can't understand a word they're saying.
They're both hammered right now. Like, one of them's actually making functional like words come out of their word hole, but barely. It's no good for anybody involved, really.
No, not at all.
There's a reason we take that day off. Oh, we have so much to get to today. Of course, Lions making moves, waiting until, you know, we're off for a weekend to make some major moves. And then, of course, the Wings. The Wings play tonight, and the Wings have made a call-up or two. We'll get into it coming up. Here's Bakar right now at Solid State Radio. Black Pumas at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So the Lions made a move over the, well, in the last 24 hours. And I'm a fan of this one, I got to say.
All right.
So they, of course, Jonah Jackson, he left. He's a free agent. He went and signed with the stupid Rams last week. And you just replaced him. You actually may have upgraded here. Kevin Zeitler signed for a one-year deal to replace. I mean, arguably now the Lions have the best offensive line of the National Football League if they didn't already before. So he's going to play right guard. Graham Glasgow is probably going to move back to left guard. And when you look at this, I mean, it's amazing to me that he's at 34 years old, just coming off his first Pro Bowl season. Because he's been a top caliber talent at his position for a while. And an upgrade even over J. Jonah Jameson, or the guy we just replaced. And he has stayed relatively healthy over the last few years, which in itself is an upgrade over what you had, because the Lions, if there's one thing we've kind of lamented a bit about the Lions, that O-line has never been able to functionally stay healthy over the course of a season, which, I mean, is going to happen, but
it's a tough job, but yeah, it seems like it was very porous at best at times.
Yeah, like when everybody wasn't starting, when Jackson didn't start, like, it was a noticeable difference going from him to his backup. Like, they won all but one game with him and then, like, lost most of their games without him or something. So, in the now 12 years that this guy's been playing, he's missed a grand total of 12 games over his entire career.
Not too shabby.
That's pretty good. And
again, tough position, and he's able to keep himself on the field for that. That's impressive.
It is, and he brings a lot of strength in the pass blocking game. Pro Football Focus has ranked 15th in overall offensive grade for guards, And in pass blocking, he was ranked second with a grade of 82.5. Run blocking wasn't as strong. Yeah, I got a grade of 62.4, ranking him tied for 27th. But really, the pass blocking is where that's really what you're counting on here out of him primarily. Like, keeping Jared Goff upright is kind of a huge thing. And this is going to help you a lot with that. I mean, you now have arguably the best O-line in the NFL. Like, this is pretty good. I mean, Taylor Decker is the 16th ranked tackle in the league. Pass blocking grades out about almost an 80%. Glasgow is your 8th ranked guard. Ragnow is the best center in the NFL, and it's not particularly close. And then Sewell, who is the top ranked tackle in the NFL, and it's not particularly close. So all the way around, this immediately upgrades that position, and for $6 million for a one-year deal. Not a bad signing at all. Like that's a pretty cheap base price.
Now, who did he play with last year?
Baltimore.
Okay.
A team that's perennially a contender. Like, this, I would argue this is the best signing of the offseason, and it now kind of makes it so you can legitimately go best player available in the draft. Like, you're no longer like, we have to target a cornerback in these first couple picks. We have to draft a tackle. We have to draft a guard. You know, even realistically, we don't have, you know, no, we have to take a defensive edge. I mean, I would still like an edge rusher. I obviously, you can never have too many of those in this league.
Sure.
But you're no longer looking at a, we have to target position. We don't have to target need. We can just straight up go for whoever the best football player is available, or trade back if they so want to do that. You have options now. You have the ability to kind of go in there and just do really what make whatever move you want to make. Make whatever draft, and like, I'll be honest, I don't think I'm going to be able to complain about it. Like, you could go out there and draft a wide receiver in the first couple of rounds, and I won't be able to be mad at it because we don't have these glaring holes that absolutely need to be filled via the draft now. You've gone and addressed basically everything that needs to be addressed, with the exception of defensive end, but, you know, hopefully the Lions will still see fit to take one of those early in the first couple rounds of this draft. That's my only sticking point now. Everything else, you've filled the holes that you need to fill, and you can just go best, just draft for talent instead of drafting for need, which is a weird situation to be in as a Lions fan.
Well, you touched on something. Now, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 totally fine with it, 10 completely upset, because they're drafting what, 30th overall?
29th?
29th, something like that. They're pretty high. Not used to, pretty low.
Right.
Not used to seeing this. What if they do trade back? They trade themselves right out of the first round.
I'm completely fine with it. If Brad Holmes sees something that's available in the later round, or has the opportunity to add draft capital in a later round, I'm fine with trading out of that pick. Totally good with it. Also, if he sees something that he just has to have, like mid-first round, and wants to trade up for it, I'm fine with that too. I don't get the sense that that's going to happen, but I won't be particularly upset if they, you know, if they trade up to draft a Jared Verse from Florida State. I wouldn't be mad about it. But if you go the opposite route, that's fine. You have the ability to do that. You're no longer dependent on this year's draft to fill immediate needs on the team. Like, you can draft a project. I'm not saying draft another QB or anything, but I'm saying you can draft another guy who you don't need to be an immediate starter on this team.
But what if J.J. McCarthy is available?
No. Absolutely not.
But what?
No.
But just a
little. No.
How about Blake Corum?
I'm fine with it. At that point is very much a luxury that is not really necessary because you have both Gibbs and Montgomery signed.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to necessarily be mad at it.
So I'm just used to the hockey world. It's a lot like the Red Wings. I'm used to the hockey world where you draft something that you're going to need later on. You're thinking 3 or 4 years down the road.
And usually you don't have, unless you're talking like late rounds in the NFL, you don't have that luxury. And most teams don't have that luxury, honestly. Like, we're normally, we're sitting here, we're doing mock drafts. Like, I want this guy. Like, he's going to make an immediate impact on the team.
Yeah.
And we're in a position all of a sudden where you don't have to worry about that. It's like, we've moved out of that the draft is our Super Bowl kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm still excited for it to be here, but I'm no longer of the mindset that we need to draft guys who are going to be impact players right now. Like, now is the time where you could do something like draft an offensive lineman who can sit behind this line for a year or two and develop. And then next year, if you want to let Zeitler move on, you can do that. Or if you want to, hey, Taylor Decker, you're getting kind of up there, and you can go ahead and you can be gone now too. Or if, God forbid, Ragnow should actually decide to retire, which has been kind of rumored over the last little
Ragnow?
Bit.
Ragnow? Really?
That, yeah, really? He's got some medical issues that... We're really possibly on borrowed time with him.
Really?
So.
Remember when I ragged on them drafting him? We were over at Cascadon Lounge in Metamora, Michigan, and they drafted him, and I was like, why? Why? Is that much of a need? And now he's like one of the best.
He's the best in his position in the NFL.
Whoops.
Right.
My fault.
My bad, guys. So no, like you're now in a nice position where you can just sit back, grab the best talent out there, and if they are an immediate starter, cool. If not, then it's not the end of the world. Finally, it's a weird position to be in as a Lions fan, but
it is a little. I mean, I'll take it. I prefer this situation, but boy, if the draft would have been in Detroit a couple years ago when we were drafting really high. Wouldn't that have been great? Now, do you want to know what ESPN's mock draft is Kuiper Jr.'s draft is?
What's he got us taking?
Xavier Leggett for a wide receiver out of South Carolina.
You know what? I can be entirely fine with it. It's weird that they have us taking him with the 29?
Yep.
So I'm looking over at Tankathon. They have him going 51st overall to the Steelers. So, like, on the list of wide receivers available in this draft, he's, like, about... They have him projected at, like, 9th or 10th on the list, just ahead of Roman Wilson from Michigan, for whatever it's worth, actually. Uh-huh. And had a decent last season, about 1,250 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns, was averaging almost 18 yards per catch, which is, up there with some of the higher-end guys in this draft, like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Odunze. But I could honestly be fine with that, because realistically, beyond Amon-Ra St. Brown, you've got J-Mo, who is still a little bit of a question mark. An explosive playmaker, but... still, ultimately, kind of a question mark. And other than that, I mean, you've got Laporta, who's a mighty fine safety valve, but you don't really have another solid receiver in that. So, I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones could be that guy. I've actually found it kind of funny. I was reading earlier today. Actually, you know what? I'll touch on this after the break, because there's a rumor I saw regarding the Lions that I don't put any stock in, and I think it would be stupid for them to do. We'll talk about it in a sec. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Bleachers at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So I saw posted on one of those local sports fan sites earlier today, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think it should happen. So you mentioned in the last segment that ESPN is mocking a wide receiver to Detroit, and in the first round of the draft, and... Yeah. You could make the case that that's not the worst thing in the world to have another good, solid pass-catching option outside of Amon-Ra and J-Mo and Laporta. But this one has been rumored. I don't like it, and I hope the Lions stay far, far away from it, because there's no good that comes from it. So the report, this is out of what's the website that was reporting this? Pro Football Network, Nick Faria, reporting that the Lions are a potential destination for Stephon Diggs.
He's still around?
Oh, yeah. He's at, not only is he still around, he's still one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League.
Oh, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about an actor. I was like, wasn't he in Fast and Furious? Tay Diggs, okay.
Yeah, okay. Different guy.
Gotcha.
So, here's the thing. Stephon Diggs, incredible talent. Great player. Absolutely phenomenal receiver. Like, no one has been better than this guy in the regular season. Very few guys have been better than him in the regular season since he landed in Buffalo. Like, if you were a team that was just in dire, dire need of a wide receiver, it would be hard to argue against Stephon Diggs in theory from a talent perspective. I mean, let me lay on some of these numbers on you. So this last year for Buffalo in the regular season, he had 1,183 receiving yards. He's averaging 11 yards per reception, 8 touchdowns last year. He's usually good for about 8 to 11 touchdowns a year since he arrived in Buffalo. In fact, when he first got there, he set the he led the league that year with 127 catches for 1,535 yards. He's been a 1,000-plus yard receiver every year he's been in Buffalo. And he's catching, on average there, 69% of his passes since he arrived there. And he was catching about 69% for his career. Great numbers. Now, here's the problem with Stephon Diggs. He is also possibly one of the most malcontent players in the National Football League. We've seen him giving Josh Allen the business about not getting enough targets in an offense where he's already leading the team, I believe, in targets and catches and yards, and putting up just stupid, like, Madden numbers. And he's still complaining that he's not getting enough targets. Can you explain that one to me? Because I got nothing for you. I mean, you look at the receiving yards he's getting for his career, for his season. Like, he's far and away ahead of, like, the next guy on the list, who is Gabe Davis, who is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. So Diggs is, like, the only option for pass catching now. I mean, yeah, Dalton Kincaid, I guess. Maybe you work Dawson Knox in there, but not really, honestly. Like, he gets as targeted as much as he does, like, double the next guy on the list. Like, he's getting he got twice the targets that Gabe Davis did last year. And he's still complaining about his role in
the
offense.
He's a ball hog. Is that really somebody you want in that locker room?
And it was a problem in Minnesota, too. Like, he had kind of a major falling out with the Vikings over much the same thing, and he did legit have another solid, you know, Pro Bowl caliber receiver when he was there in Adam Thielen, and he was getting still a vast majority of the targets and the catches there, like, by a significant margin, and was complaining then that he wasn't getting targeted enough. Like, you'd hear him complain to the press, to his coaches, to everybody who would listen, basically. And that's not something that seems to fit in with the culture that Dan Campbell's trying to build here. That I can't think of a worse move that the Lions could make. I mean, you could see a guy like that in Dallas. Like, the Cowboys don't have a whole lot outside of CeeDee Lamb, really. But Dallas is going to have to give up some major draft capital. And would also pair Stephon with his younger brother, Trayvon. So, and Dallas, I mean, they know how to handle egos. It's what they do down there.
They create egos.
That, too. You could see him, you could see him ending up in any NFC East team, pretty much. I mean, you could see him with the Giants. You could see him with the Commanders. The Arizona Cardinals have been mentioned as a spot, but I don't think honestly, it's a good move for the Lions because I don't see Brad Holmes giving up the kind of draft capital it would take to do that. As elite of a player as he is, the culture has been very much put out as an important thing here. The way that Dan Campbell's built this thing is we're not putting one guy above the team. Yep. We're not bringing in guys who are going to complain to the media or to the coaches if they're not getting the role they want in the offense. And Stephon Diggs is absolutely that guy. He's basically played himself a perennial All-Pro, and he's about played himself now out of two different cities where he was contending pretty regularly because he can't accept his role in offense.
I put him in the same kind of folder as Antonio Brown.
And AB is a different case altogether. That man had serious mental issues.
CTE, yeah. But I mean, as far as okay, so Diggs fans are gonna be like, well, he's a fierce competitor. It's his ball. He wants that ball. Yeah, but I mean, what's he creating behind the scenes that we don't even know about aside from giving Josh Allen the business when he's in Buffalo,
and that is a team that should be absolutely contending. Like they should be a perennial playoff team, and the fact that they're not really kind of speaks to, a lack of good clubhouse culture there. And Diggs seems to be one of the biggest contributors to that. I mean, it's that whole, the diva wide receiver thing. Like, every so often you get one of those guys like
T.O.,
Dez Bryant, guys like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems to lend itself to that position more than it does to any other. It's just, I don't think it's worth the headache and the draft capital you'd have to get up to acquire him. Because remember, even if he doesn't necessarily want to be in Buffalo now, they're not going to sell low on him. Like, they're going to want to replenish that war chest and go get someone that's going to keep them a playoff contender, because that's where they are. Their window is right now. And you're going to have to give up a significant haul to get him. I don't see Brad Holmes being the guy to do that.
I don't see him putting up with that at all.
I mean, he wasn't willing to make that move to get L'Jarius Sneed, who filled an immediate major position of need for this team. I don't see him giving up even more to acquire. Like, you're probably talking, I would think, multiple first-round picks, no?
Oh, yeah.
It'd have to be. Like, all pro receivers don't just get traded in the prime of their career very often.
No,
so they're
no.
They're going to be asking the world for him, and rightfully so.
Well, but that should say something. In the prime of his career, he's getting moved out of town. Why? What? I mean, obviously, it's a rhetorical question.
Yeah,
but so yeah, I think Campbell he understands the chemistry on the team, and he's not about to throw that monkey wrench in there.
No, he's not going to upset that. Right now, Amon-Ra is your number one guy, and he's a dude. It doesn't matter where he slots as receiver. He's going to work hard, bust his hump, and earn those targets. I don't see a guy who immediately comes in and starts complaining that Goff's not throwing the ball enough. I don't see that being a fit here. Here's Will Dorado. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Manchester Orchestra, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. And I feel like I've held out long enough. I know Adam's got that feeling that I've been holding out long enough. Like, we've waited far too long. We had a whole extra day off and everything. So, I'm not going to make you wait any longer. Don't worry, Adam. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Hey, hockey time! Did you see who finally got called up?
Simon Edvinson, number 77, Simon Edvinson.
And it's looking like he's going to probably slot into the lineup immediately. Jake Walman's out.
Injury? Or is he just
I believe
in the doghouse?
Yeah, I believe he is. I want to say that's an injury. I will confirm.
I would assume he's not in the doghouse because he has exceeded the expectations this past year.
I think he's exceeded a lot of people's expectations of him this season, mine included. Huh? I'm not gonna lie to you.
We've always liked the guy, but yeah, we expect him to be kind of like a blue collar kind of. But he's, and I guess he is that. But he has he's done his job. Now, last couple of games, I mean, over the weekend, they split him. 4-1 against Buffalo, 6-3 to the Pens.
I am giving all of the credit for that win on Saturday to our good friend Paulie Brady from Stone Clover.
Paulie from Stone Clover sang the national anthem, made Michigan music proud, and I think it amped up the team a little bit. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but that's the route I'm taking.
That's exactly where I'm going, since apparently it's verboten to mention the priority waste packages. Apparently, did you hear? And we don't carry the games on Solid State Radio. What are they going to do to us? Apparently, Bally Sports is forbidden from talking about the trash patches.
Yes,
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I mean, they're already like the biggest suck ups in. Like, the whole, it's not like the Fox Sports crew has ever said anything to the Bally Sports, whatever, or ever say anything negative about even the teams that deserve it, looking at you, Pistons. But I find it hilarious that they're like, don't you even talk about the trash patch.
Yeah, it's not going to be Trevor, it's not going to be Mickey or Kenny.
It's going to be Keating.
I think he even knows what side his bread is buttered on. It's going to be Murphy. It's going to be Osgood. They'll be like, yes, this is... Now they're being called the Garbage Pail Kids. I mean, it's so... It shouldn't affect their play, but I think it's totally affecting their play. One win out of 8 games. Not great. Not great at all.
No, not in any way, shape, or form. So I'm still looking for lineups for tonight, but while I do that, I have to complain about something. And
please do.
I keep reading a certain stupid wing wheel based Facebook group and the moronic things that those people post. But so it was posted that Evanston was getting recalled.
Yep.
And people are mad because they're taking away from Grand Rapids' playoff push. Do you people understand what the effing purpose of the Grand Rapids Griffins is? The whole purpose of their existence is to feed players to the Red Wings.
Yep.
You know, the NHL club, the team that matters. I don't give a good goddamn if the Grand Rapids Griffins don't win a playoff game for the next decade. If you want to take one of their players and bring them up here to the team that actually matters and competes in the highest level of professional hockey in the world... I don't care.
Yeah, I mean...
The next one of you morons I hear talk about this, I swear, I'm starting just showing up at people's houses with octopi and beating them with them.
I mean, I can see their point, but yes, I see yours brighter because it's like, yeah... Because
mine's right.
Well, let's not get too crazy now. They want to be able to see what investments they have. Because, I mean, Edmondson, I don't know where he is in a contract, but, I mean... You have an injury, it's getting towards the end of the season, you kind of want to see what you've got. And Edmondson, everybody's been clamoring for him. What's Simon Edmondson going to do? Call him up. Why are you doing it? So, okay, well, here you go. Number 77 is going to be in the lineup, and we'll see what's happening. I don't know if Austin Chernek is still going to be in the lineup.
So what I'm reading right now is Rasmussen's out tonight, Larkin is out tonight, so Berggren and Zarnik are going to play.
Okay.
And then Edvinson's basically taking Wallman's spot in the lineup because, you know, we're never playing Justin Hall again.
Yeah, that was a little weird. I mean, he's been a healthy scratch the whole time. I think they were trying to get rid of him via a trade.
I don't understand why Stevie signed him.
Well, it probably looked good on paper at the time, but I mean, when you talk about how many players did he sign on free agency? Like 25, I think.
All of them. The entire roster was all signed that day.
So they couldn't all be home runs. He had to have a couple grounders. So you got Petrie, you got Hall. Gothespierre. I mean,
how bad does Hall have to be that Petrie is still in the lineup?
Petrie,
explain that one to me.
Maybe he's doing things on the ice that we just don't see.
You'd think we would have heard about one of these things by now.
Yeah, because every time I see him, he's moping his way to the penalty box
every single time.
But I mean, with all the trades that's happened and the free agency of like Alex Lyon, Daniel Sprong. I'm happy with what. Yeah, they weren't all going to be winners, but it is what it is. We only got a couple games to deal with. Hall and Petrie, and then
Hall signed for like 3 years, isn't he?
Is he really?
Yeah, that's the biggest head scratcher of that whole thing. Was that, I mean, Petrie, I believe, is either signed through this year or next. But yeah, Hall is a 3-year deal, man.
Wow. Okay, I did not see
Petrie
that coming.
Petrie is signed through the end of next. Oh God, we got him in another year. Another year at $6.2 million.
See,
please make some magic happen in this offseason, Yzerman.
Well, Justin Hall has got to, something's got to be going on here. He's 5 assists on the season. He's a +8.
Yeah.
And just last time he played, I guess he did play March 9th against the Vegas Golden Knights, and he was a +1 with one hit, 2 block shots. Why is he not getting a look? Why is it Edvinson? Because, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, Edvinson, I mean, if Grand Rapids, let's give him a chance to feel like what it is to be on a winning team, that's going to bolster his competitiveness. Then you bring him in there. But Yzerman, we trust.
Technically, you're in a playoff push in Detroit right now, too.
But are we, though? I mean, yes, we'll make it to the playoffs. And if they make it to the playoffs, you're not going to hear me complaining. But is it really going to be... Do we really have a high expectation for the Wings in the playoffs?
I'm not saying we have a high expectation. I'm just saying that it is technically a playoff push, that you're still probably, more than likely, fingers crossed, going to make the playoffs. And that's still, NHL playoff experience to me is more valuable than playoffs in GR.
Point taken. I don't know. I just don't see them doing that well, and I think that would just like screw up our draft stock. Not that, you know, we'd get any lottery luck anyway. I don't know who I'm kidding, but
I was gonna say, like, have you forgotten what team we root for? Like, you weren't going to get any high, like, you're not gonna get any love in the draft lottery. We never do.
No, nope.
Like, what the Wings look, they'll end up drafting 30th this year, no matter what they do. If they won't make the playoffs, and they'll somehow draft 32nd overall. Uncle Gary's going to trudge out there with his bobblehead. Yeah, we have a special thing this year. Like, we're also drafting lottery balls for the last pick of the first round, and it's Detroit. Would you look at that?
Oh, with the first pick in the draft, we're going to a lottery, and this is just weird. Vegas. Anyway, back to you.
Craziest thing. I don't know how it happened.
Huh. Not happening.
Crazy, yeah. Guys.
I don't know. So I guess we'll see what happens. They're taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets, which bodes well for the team. At least they got a fighting chance at this. To string along some string together some wins, but we'll see. I mean, the way the team has just been lackluster. They won against Buffalo. Can't take that away from them. But yeah, they can't pass. They seem to not know their on ice assignments. Maybe this is Lalonde kind of showing his belly a little bit. But I mean, I hate to say it. I hate to be that one guy, but bring back Larkin. You got to get him healthy as soon as possible. Get him on the ice because apparently he's a missing cog in this machine.
He's apparently what's making this whole thing function, and we just did not realize just how much that was the case.
Yep.
But you're playing a crappy team tonight, so
yay.
You at least have a half a chance of doing something good. Here's yellow card at Solid State Radio. Blue October at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and stop the world. I want to get off, man. So
what happened?
So Sinead O'Connor, you may remember, she passed away about 8 months ago. You know, iconic singer, songwriter, and all that. And well, best known for a hit that was written by somebody else, but that's not really the point.
Yes,
but apparently. She's being recognized in this Women's History Month, which is apparently a thing that I just learned about today. but she's being paid tribute by being turned into a Bratz doll.
Really?
Bratz is apparently celebrating Women's History Month by unveiling a concept doll in tribute to Sinead O'Connor. Honoring O'Connor just 8 months after she passed away, the doll depicts her with her signature shaved head. While she isn't ripping up any photos of the Pope, she's donning her Jesus is Coming, Look Busy shirt with sunglasses, baggy jeans, and a quintessentially Bratz blinged out lip-shaped handbag. And
yeah, because the 11 to 12 year old market that they really, the brats really go for, they just can't get enough Sinead O'Connor.
Like, also, like, here's there's just the dial just for your reference, sir. Like, that
I thought it was Eminem.
Looks more like Eminem than shit. That don't look like an Irish girl I've ever seen in my life. Let me tell you right there. I have so many questions, quite frankly. Like, who approved this? Like, this doesn't exactly seem like the sort of thing that I imagine if Sinead O'Connor were alive, she would have ever signed off on.
Probably not. I mean, because the whole Bratz line is kind of like a slutty Barbie.
Kind of, yeah.
It really is. I mean, really kind of a, how do I tiptoe around this? We don't. We just walk right around it. Bratz is not a very wholesome kind of line. It's not like, you know, Barbie, where she's a space shuttle commander. She's a lawyer. She's a doctor. Bratz is just like, you know, looks like the rejects from Jersey Shore.
Kind of, yeah.
And so you're going to honor Sinead O'Connor by making her look like something that she's never looked like. She's got the bald head.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, you got the bald head right, the shirt, but even then, like, that looks like it's trying to make her a little a little sluttier than it would be done in real life here. Like, it's just it seems weird to say it, but it just, it feels like the most, if this is supposed to be a tribute, it's the most backhanded tribute that has ever been done by anybody.
New to Hasbro, the new Musicians Women Bratz line. Here comes a brand new Bratz. Sinead O'Connor with a shaved head. Janis Joplin. This one stinks. Amy Winehouse. So many needles. Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Oh, do you smell something burning? Get the new Bratz today.
Just like, there's no time that would have been good for this, admittedly.
Wait till she's dead.
But even less so after she's dead.
Yeah, right. Because guess what, Sinead? We've decided to honor you and you're as being a strong woman in the world of music. Oh, that's fantastic. Whatever. You're a Bratz doll. I'm a what now?
Because if there's one thing I can see with Sinead O'Connor that totally sounds about right, like, yeah, it'd be her walking around with a blinged out lip-shaped handbag. Like, nothing says Sinead O'Connor more than that.
What's Al Sharpton as a Mr. Potato Head?
Good Lord. Paying tribute to an icon, truly. Yeah. It is happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. Stick around. There's Cannons loving you at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Still honestly not sure how it is that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley have not tried to sue them for royalties on that song.
I wasn't paying attention, so I have to go back and listen to this.
The one that where the chorus is kind of basically straight ripped off from I Was Made for Loving You.
That's fine. Gene has gone on a note as saying that he's just not a big fan of that song.
I mean, I'm not surprised. But
when there's money involved,
I'm surprised he's not trying to make money off it, is my point. Right, yeah. Like, that seems like it would be so on brand for him. All right. So, you know, the word hero gets thrown around an awful lot these days. But this Nebraska woman might qualify. She's been arrested after an exploitable flaw at a gas station pump netted her more than $27,000 in free gas without paying for it. The security error is so basic it could have been discovered by anyone, but she might have pushed her luck too far. So 45-year-old Dawn Thompson of Lincoln, Nebraska has been suspected of using the faulty programming to her advantage to pump and in some cases resell more than 7,400 gallons of gas.
She just keeps coming back.
In November 2022, pumps at a local station were updated with software that featured a hidden test mode, which would dispense gas without payment. It was activated by simply swiping a loyalty card twice, which might have been how she learned of the feature. It's also possible that she learned about it from the man who gave her the card to settle a debt, though he has since passed away and is unavailable for questioning.
How that's kind of crazy, huh?
Right? She used the function to pump gas without paying 510 separate times between November 13th, 2022 and June 1st, 2023. She would reportedly swipe multiple times a day on some occasions and charge others to use her card. In fact, that may be the reason she was even caught in the first place.
So she keeps going to the same gas station and getting... Great job, attendants. You guys are really on top of your game on that one.
Those people don't make it. You know, those people don't make, you know, jack crap for money, man. No. Do you think they care?
No. So,
not coming on my paycheck. I don't care. Like, do I get paid enough to be the gas police? No, I do not.
Oh, but Sean, we should feel bad for the oil companies that are taking a loss on this. Let's think about those poor, poor oil companies.
I got you sympathy right here.
Upon hearing about this, every gas station in the United States raised their prices up 20 cents.
Just in sympathy alone.
We have to recoup from this terrible, terrible loss.
And you know, the great thing about this too is the fact that, you know, she could have kept it to herself. She could have just let the thing just go and just use it for her own ends,
popping her mouth off.
But no, instead, she exhibited generosity that I don't think a lot of us could imagine. She actually went out there and gave this, gave of herself to other people, this cheap free gas trick of hers. So other people were able to fill their tanks because of her generosity.
Well, didn't the story say that she was charging people?
Yeah, but she was still charging them significantly less. Yeah. I mean, everyone's got to make a little bit of a living, right?
Yeah, right. There you go. It's got to be like a episode of It's Always Sunny, or it's got to be a movie, right?
It has to be. Absolutely has to be. Like, there is just, like, when she gets out of jail, which, quite frankly, I don't think they should make her go to, you know, put her in prison anyway. But
they should,
like,
just make her work at a gas station.
Right? She probably won't care if anyone goes driving off.
Yep.
But if anything, when she gets done with that, she ought to sell the life. She's got to sell the rights to this. I mean, this would make such a great movie or book or something, man.
Oh, yeah.
I would pay good money to see it. That's for damn sure.
Melissa McCarthy stealing gas.
Would be Melissa McCarthy too.
Melissa McCarthy, she's got gas.
And that's exactly how they're going to sell it too.
I feel good.
Jesus. Here's Big Rack, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Blue October at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's happening? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And the fast food workers of the world have seemingly just had enough of your BS, people.
Yes.
And I am 110% here for this.
Exactly.
So this happened at a Little Caesars, apparently. One particular customer learned the hard way that, you shove a camera in someone's face enough that you're probably going to have a hard time back in return.
Yep.
So the video begins mid-argument with the manager challenging the customer's claim that they got Staphylococcus meningitis from the partly eaten pizza's garlic butter. I'll give you your money back, she said. You don't have to record me. I know what I said. Manager, had you put garlic butter all over it, no wonder you got sick. I have audio. And I'm pretty sure this is safe for work, so we should be good there.
Good deal.
Here, take a listen.
Staphylococcus meningitis. He got staphylococcus from all of this garlic butter.
That's not what I said.
You keep your napkin, though.
It's one of those slices and sticks pizzas.
Yeah. You get your money back. You don't have to record me. I know what I said. I didn't call you and say I got food poisoning.
No, it's just I came in here to. Am I allowed? Can I say?
It's all gone, and you've got garlic butter all over it. No wonder you got sick.
All gone. Can I?
Oh God.
Talker.
Wait, you just talked before you turned your camera on, though, right? Right, Mister. I got food poisoning.
No, I said about three. I said about three words before you started. Yep.
Three words before he started recording. I probably said more than that.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. He did all the, all the bitching before.
You need to work on your customer service.
I don't let liars come to my store.
I am not a liar.
You said you got staphylococcus meningitis from garlic butter. That is a lie.
You guys work for this?
I'm supposed to ask Kiss just because you bought a $7.99?
No!
Okay, I'm refunding you. Drop it. Thank you.
No, you called me a moron.
Well, to be fair, well, you kind of sound like a moron.
Yeah. He came in there just thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to really own this person. People who are filming, they know they're being filmed, so they're on their best behavior. They're trying to catch somebody else doing something wrong. But that manager, I tell you what, kudos to her.
Good on her. Like, absolutely. She did not take any crap from this man, and exactly. I respect the hell out of that.
Exactly. And then the customer is trying to get the other employees, just like, you actually work for her? And they're like,
hell yeah, we do. She actually sticks up for us.
Yeah. Let me get your lying ass out of my store.
This customer is writing nonsense. Get out of here with that.
I'm going to throw you a beating.
I just love that. Like... Because at no point does this guy sound like sympathetic at all. Like, you're literally trying to say you got a staph infection from some garlic butter from a pizza place. Like,
and he brought the pizza back.
Yeah. So he ate like half the damn thing.
He ate it. He contracted that disease. Got better.
I'm pretty sure that's not how that works.
Got better.
I'm not a doctor, back, yeah. Nor do I play one on the radio, but yeah. I don't think that that's how that works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, she gave him his money back, but then called him a liar.
And I think that's fair, because this guy sounds like a great big old liar, man.
Good. Go somewhere else.
Like, these people aren't getting paid nearly enough to deal with your crap.
Right.
Like, we're talking people who are basically, you know, making damn near a minimum wage to serve you food, and you're coming up in here and throwing a fit and making blatantly, like, false claims like this. Like, yeah. No.
So, okay.
Just stop.
So you got that. Do you have a doctor's note that says you have that? Because it sounds like a pretty serious infection. That, you know, if you just had the pizza and you just got the infection, why are you coming into my store to spread it around to other people?
Well, it was a drive-through Little Caesars, so.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, why are you coughing up all over me now? Yeah. Like,
yeah. If you're so infectious right now because of this, shouldn't you be in a hospital or at home away from people? I mean...
Like, she showed, quite frankly, a significant amount of restraint not just throwing that food back at him.
Sounds like she had a little bit of an education in communicable diseases. So maybe she's been to college and stuff like that, and he's trying to whip this knowledge out on her, and she's just like, boomerang.
Yeah, no, not having it. She's not having any of that.
The Wonder Woman bracelets, ding, ding. I know what I'm talking about.
Ah, the lasso of truth, indeed.
Yeah.
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
Happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Tuesday afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original something or other comes your way next at 6 o'clock. I hear a radio show that where they may or may not play music of a local original nature.
It's only been a couple of years. One day you'll get it. Yeah, 1 hour of nothing but Michigan-made music on Sessions. And it's a Tuesday, so that means it's a two for Tuesday. Double shots from some of your favorite Michigan bands.
All being well. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.